apparently we don't see any shayateen who are being repelled by shooting stars, nor do we observe lamps as such in the heavens. So obviously, according to those who understand the style of the Holy Quran, such verses relate to a different phenomenon altogether. When we say that, some non-Muslims can raise this objection. They can allege that you are putting words into the mouth of the Holy Quran because you have reached a state of knowledge where the world has advanced in science, and you think that the verses of the Holy Quran are left far behind in time and they are describing the phenomena of nature incorrectly. So to guard against allegations regarding the Holy Quran, you are trying to come out with excuses. And you tell us that it is just a hidden phenomena, it is just a spiritual phenomena, a religious phenomena, and not exactly the phenomena of nature as we observe it. What is the answer to such a question, such an allegation? It appears to be rather heavy, and Islam must be defended rationally, not through imaginations and through our beliefs alone. Those who understand the style of the Holy Quran would further proceed to note that the Holy Quran does not require any for outside defenders. It can well defend its values, and it does not need any outside defenders. Verses of the Holy Quran support other verses and make their meaning manifestly clear. So, when we say positively that these verses mean to refer to a religious phenomena and not the apparently natural phenomena, we must have some proof in the Holy Quran itself, so that when the attention of man is drawn towards the second type of verses, immediately the allegations fall by themselves. The second verse to which I want to draw your attention is, after a few surahs, in Surah Jinn, the Holy Quran tells us in that verse, that surah, وَإِنَّا لَمَسْنَا السَّمَاءَ فَوَجَدْنَاهَا مُلِئَتْ حَرَسًا شَدِيدًا وَشُهُبًا وَإِنَّا كُنَّا نَخُذُ مِنْهَا مَقَاعِدَ لِلسَّمْعِ وَمَنْ يَسْمَعِ الْآنَ يَجِدْ لَهُ شَهَابًا رَصَدًا. It says, in the words of Jinnai, and again that word Jinn is a very debatable word, how it should be interpreted. Is it meant by the Holy Quran to refer to a very special type or unknown type of creation which is invisible to the human eye and which has power over human affairs as well, occasionally, or something else is meant by this? But I leave that alone for the time being, because that will be making a diversion in another direction. I'll stick myself to the meaning of the true meaning of the verse which I first recited, as illustrated by this second verse. In this second verse, Allah tells us that after the advent of Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a party of jinnai came to see him. And they accepted they took oath of allegiance at his hand. And when they returned, they started talking between themselves. And this is the talk which is referred to. They say, while they go back, they are saying, Inna lamasna sama fawajadna muliyat harasan shadidan wa shuhaba. We tried to reach heaven, but we found it fully protected by strong guards, Vashubha and shooting stars. Vainna kunna nakudu minha makayda lisamne. While previously we used to sit in places to listen and nothing happened. Now vaman yasma ilana, nor if anybody attempts to listen, yadillahu shahada rasada, he will find in wait, in ambush, a shooting star for him. So what has happened? That the apparent phenomena of nature has totally changed, has been transformed. The only thing which has happened is the coming of Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. While in nature nothing has changed. No change is observable in nature. The heaven is the same as it used to be, I mean the apparent heaven. The skies and the stars and their behavior is exactly alike. But something has changed after the advent of Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and a new system is created. So that shows positively that their outward nature is not meant at all in this verse, nor in the previous verse. What is meant here is that when prophets come, they create a new heaven. And that heaven is different from the heaven previously known to the people. Before the advent of prophets, the men of the world are at liberty to attack religious values. They even attack God. They, in their perverted mind, they create allegations and suspicions and doubts first in their own mind, and then they sow the seeds of create suspicions and doubts into other people's minds. And this phenomenon goes on unchecked, because that heaven is not yet created, which is mentioned in the Holy Quran as the lowest heaven. And those stars have not yet been created, which are made guard over the religious values. That heaven, which is mentioned in Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam's word, Naya Asman, or Nayi Zameen. Naya Asman is the Asman or heaven which is being mentioned in this verse. And that can only be created when prophets appear, not before them. Like Surah Jin has made it manifestly clear to us. So Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, and with him was created the new heaven. And who are the stars then? The same stars as are referred to by Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ashabi kanujume bi'ayyin muqtadaytu muqtadaytu. My companions are stars. Whomsoever you will follow, you will be rightly guided. So this is the new heaven which is created, and this is the new heaven to which the Holy Quran refers to occasionally. Now what is the quality of this new heaven? The quality of this new heaven, as mentioned here, is this, that they are guard over religious values and all that is godly. After the new heaven is created, then the people of the world are not permitted to attack the religious values as they were going to before it. They come upon such guards, such strong guards, which pursue them and repel them and put them to flight. And if they are not put to flight, they are destroyed totally, because such is a strong system of guarding this heaven that the people of the world have absolutely no play in the matter left anymore. This is what has been described in the Holy Quran, and this is what I want to draw your attention to. Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came and created a heaven. And for a long time to come, we observe in the history of Islam that very great religious scholars were produced. Even after the companions of the Holy Prophet had left this mortal world, there were people who followed them in their footsteps and defended the values of Islam very strongly, with the result that they were awe-inspiring to the enemies. And a time came when people dared not attack the values of Islam because there were so many gods created in this lowest heaven. After a while, unfortunately, as the Holy Quran had itself predicted, there were changes taking place in this heaven. Stars were torn from their hinges, and darkness was replacing light gradually, with the result that ultimately, as Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam had predicted himself, a time of total darkness came and got extended into centuries. Very little light of heaven was observable during that unfortunate period of dark ages for the world of Islam. But with the grace of Allah, Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salam came. He was raised by Allah himself, and a new heaven for Islam was created. New stars came to being. New system of defense for Islamic values was created. And it went into action immediately. But Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salam did not wait for the star to be born. He himself went into action first. And in fact, that process was the process of creation of the star, like it had happened earlier in the time of the Prophet Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The prophets are like suns, or like moon. Around them, a new heaven is created by their light, in fact. And this is the phenomena with which we observe unfolding again in the time of the Prophet Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But time was less since. The lot of water has flowed from under the bridges of the world. People have changed, so have enemies. And unfortunately, they are not behaving as ideally as the enemies produced by Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salam himself. They have fallen in standard in many respects. And this is one respect in which I am, I so painfully have to admit that they have fallen much below the standard. The fact is that the enemies of Islam have again become active. From different angles they have started attacking Islam. In different garbs they are dressed. But the object of creating doubts and suspicions about Islam is the same object. There's no change. The malevolent attitude and the inimical stance is the same. Only the style has changed a little bit. But enemies all over the world, if not all, majority of them, are not mindful of this phenomenon anymore. They are not constantly defending the values of Islam as they should be. I refer to a change having taken place not only in Ahmadis but in outside world as well. I want to further elaborate on this observation. Then you'll understand what I mean. mean to say is this, that although the enmity of Islam continues to be the same, its form has changed and new garb and new dresses are being worn by the same enemies. Their policy has changed a little bit, apparently though, but not in fact. The policy has changed all over the world, wherever they be, to prove to be those stars which are mentioned in this verse. They are the stars of the new heaven which has been created by the Supreme Mother of Islam. They are the stars on which depends the defense of Islam today. If they sleep over this, they will not be mindful of their duties to Allah. If they do not guard Islam, who would be in their place? Who would be the person who would guard Islam? Because Allah has bestowed this responsibility upon us. He has chosen us for this purpose. So if we leave this responsibility alone, nobody is going to come forward and do it for you. And they are incapable of doing it. Because they do not understand the values of Islam as you understand today, Hazrat Masih Maud Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has drawn your attention to such keys as open up new avenues for you when you study the Holy Quran. He has handed over you such clues as make you understand the Holy Quran more easily than the rest of the world. So if you do not defend the values of the Quran, nobody else is going to. This I tell you positively. And this is what is happening at present. A lot of books on Islam distorting the teachings of Islam and distorting the figure of Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam have come into market, and they have not been taken notice of by the embassies living in that particular country where they are published. For example, here in England, I have come across certain books which have not at all been mentioned in our literature, but which are full of poison. And the new generation is brought up in that manner. In fact, the change in the policy which I have just mentioned has been brought about because of some political changes, because of the find of oil in the Arab world, because of the rise of the Arab wealth. Now the Orientalists are changing their policy in form alone. What they have decided is this, that why to antagonize the Muslim world by calling a so-called liar a liar, call him a truthful person, and then start enlarging upon his life as they say it. This is the policy. So a change of nomenclature has occurred and nothing else. Because the Holy Quran, the Book of Allah, all right, but then attribute such enormity to this book, such horrible contradictions and so on and so forth, that the reader, after reading only a few pages written by them as commentary on the Holy Quran, begins to believe that it is just a hocus pocus, nothing to do with Allah or anything, which is nothing to do with those books which are revealed by Allah. So this is the enmity about which you must be conscious now, and make conscious effort to first detect and then pursue and then to put to flight all these enemies of Islam. Among you are people who are knowledgeable, who are learned, who can understand English very well, and who are also somewhat, if not entirely well versed, but somewhat versed with the values of the Holy Quran and Ahmadiyyat. So they should start reading such books and pinpointing the mistakes and elaborating on what has been said against Islam. They should prepare such lists, with the result that afterwards, if they are themselves capable of writing some convincing answers after making some research, they should go do it by themselves, but should not leave it entirely to their own efforts. What they should do is, I have that in mind, a very clear policy to pursue. What they should do is, first of all, detect where the wrong has been committed, prepare a list of all these things, analyze them, pursue the original sources which have been referred to in the book, and try to come out with effective answers to their own best capabilities. But should not leave it at that, because it's possible that they are not capable of defending the value of Islam effectively, because there is a lot of treachery involved in this. A lot of investigation in many quarters has to be done before you can come up with a proper answer. So all these things, all these books with references, everything will be referred to the center. There we are going to create a cell, inshallah, which will collect all the all such attempts made by the enemies of Islam, and we will tabulate them, and then make a research work pursuing all the authorities they have quoted, with the result that after collection of such data, inshallah ta'ala, we will be able to pursue the enemy to the last ditch he can go to. And this is a very important and urgent matter. How can it be done? I have got another plan which I want to dwell upon now. If, for example, we leave it to people at chance, there may be some who would be left unattended, some writers against Islam, and there would be some, on too many people would be wasting their energy uselessly. So, what I mean to do is this, that I should like all the various countries where Ahmadiyya is established with the grace of Allah, and where we have regular Jamaat, to call the attention of all the Ahmadis, I mean the local administration there should call the attention of all the Ahmadis to this fact, and they should be required to send in writing to the Mishri in charge which particular author on Islam they are going to pursue, to study. So a group of study should be created. For example, 5 or 10 Ahmadi scholars should be appointed to study, for example, Montgomery Scott, Montgomery Watt. All his books should be studied and analyzed completely. An inventory should be made where he has gone wrong according to our belief, where he has intentionally or inadvertently attacked Islam, and all those books which he has referred to should also be studied by that group originally. And it should be verified whether he has quoted those original sources correctly or wrongly. And then whatever they have achieved should be referred to the center. There we shall go into further investigation and decide how best these allegations should be met with. With the result that inshallah ta'ala, in near future, new literature again in defense of Islam will come into being. And that is what is meant in this verse by the creation of a new heaven. That heaven is not now going to be created. That heaven has already been created first by Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam and then by Hazrat Masih Maud sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the same pattern. Only it is weakening down. This is why we have to reinforce the system. That is all. Nothing new is being suggested. Nothing new is being committed. So what will happen ultimately is that after they have fed us with this information, the missionary is in charge, we will see if there are any authorities left untouched, or too many people are drawing attention towards one or two authorities alone. So we'll try to create a balance between them, with the result that in the center we know that all over the world, whoever writes against Islam is being observed and pursued by families with the grace of Allah. And nothing is left unanswered then. This is the responsibility of the center to see. So inshallah ta'ala, we will not leave Islam as undefended. It's impossible. As long as we live, this cannot happen. But I have observed, most painfully I came across certain books in which such enormities have been said against Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam and and the Holy Quran, that it hurts one deeply. In fact, one is cut to the core. But again, unfortunately, all that has been done in such a language, as if a friend is speaking and not an enemy. And such so-called friends are being lauded by the world of Islam. And I also noticed a strange tendency among them to ignore Ahmadiyya completely, not even to mention Ahmadiyya. Wherever they have attacked Islam and their followers, and they have, of course, they have read Ahmadiyya literature, some of them I know positively, and they also knew at that time that in that respect, in that particular quarter, Jamaat Ahmadiyya had defended the cause of Islam admirably. But they wouldn't even mention the name of Jamaat, and Jamaat knew only. With the result that they achieved two goals at the same time. One, that they go on attacking Islam without referring to such books in which defense of Islam can be found by any scholar who wants to pursue the matter subject further. And secondly, they please the non-Ahmadiyya Muslim world by doing so, and become greater champions of Islam, apparently, in their eyes. They take the stance that, look here, Jamaat Ahmadiyya is just nothing. It's insignificant. It don't mean anything. Whatever they have said by way of defense of Islam is just nothing. It's all a joke. And we don't even want to mention their name, the scholarly people of the world, because they are too small and insignificant a people to be mentioned in such great books as written by great orientalists. So by doing this, they please all the Muslim world. They say, look here, these are the true people. They know where Islam lies and where it does not. And this is how the teaching goes on and on, manifold. But we are not going to leave them alone, inshallah. As the Holy Quran has told us, when the new heaven is created, a new change takes place. And that change is mentioned in this verse, Inna lamasna samaa fa wajadnaha muliyat harasan shadeedan wa shuruba. Strange thing has happened. A new heaven is created. Previously we used to attack it at our pleasure, at leisure, but whenever we please to do so, we did. But now when we attempt to attack this heaven, we are being pursued. It's strongly guarded. By such staunch guard, they would not leave us alone. Whenever we try to attempt to attack heaven, we are very punished, we are thoroughly punished. With the result that a fire pursues us and would not let us do as we will. This is the meaning of this verse. And as long as we achieve this high objective, this goal for which Ahmadiyyat is now created with the grace of Allah again to defend the values of Islam, we will not and content. So I hope, inshallah, very soon this machinery will start working, and it will start from England. Before I leave, I want the name of such scholars who devote themselves to this task. Whatever their profession is, doesn't make any difference. They should be able to read English well. They should know something of Islam. Not they are totally ignorant of Quran, the Holy Quran or the Muslim or the Rasulullah of Islam and undertake to defend Islam. This cannot happen. I mean those who at least know Islam, who have read Muslim or the Islam's books to a certain degree, and they are capable of understanding the values of Islam in the first place. As the Muslim of the Rasulullah of Islam has made it manifestly clear to everybody that unless you read my books, unless you read new literature produced on Islam, if you read other books, you will be wrongly influenced by them. The only defense for you is to first apprise yourself of the teachings of the Holy Quran and the tradition of the Holy Quran. As I see it, through my eyes, you will see such beauty that no person who attempts to distort the faith of Islam will succeed in doing so, as far as you are concerned. Because you will have observed Islam through my eyes. All the beauties of Islam would have been made clear to you as I see them. After that, there is no question left of any misunderstanding. So this is a very important fundamental thing for Ahmadi. They must first of all prepare themselves. They must first of all apprise themselves of the correct approach to Islam. Once they do it, and then afterwards they study the literature of the enemies of Islam, no harm would come to them. It's impossible for them then to feel defeated or to feel in any danger, to be in any danger of being misled by the enemy. But lesser people who have not done so, I have seen among Ahmadis who start reading the literature of the enemy without first reading the literature of Ahmadiyya, I found them ultimately misled. In fact, there were many students, not many, but there were some students at the college when I used to study in Ramin College Lahore, who were totally wrongly influenced by such study, by studying the history of Islam through the eyes of the so-called Orientalists and so on and so forth. They were ultimately themselves poisoned. So I had to work hard upon them to discuss things with them and to let them see light. Ultimately, with the grace of Allah, they were saved. But this can happen. This has happened before. In this country, you should also guard against this. So a system should be evolved, it should be recorded by the Imam, and we should go about it in an orderly manner. We must make a scientific approach, and when this sermon reaches other Ahmadis all over the globe, they should follow suit as well. I'm so excited about it, in fact. I want it to be done now and here. But it's not possible. It will take some time. But inshallah, within 1 year, we should see this system of new heaven operative in the world, and all the world should realize that something has changed. And they should admit defeat in the world. Inna lamasna samaa fa wajadnaha mulyat harasan shadeedan wa shubaba wa inna kunna naqudu minha maqaida lil tamdid. May Allah grant us opportunity and strength and will to fulfill this noble objective as best as He pleases. من توكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا ومن يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم ويستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.
That it is the tradition of Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam that only before the Hajj each day, during the day of Hajj, the evening before the each day, that is the day of slaughtering. After prayer, he always recited loudly, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Wa lillahi alhamd. And he continued to do so after every prayer for the following next 2.5 days. So this is the last day. This is the third day or
third day.
This is the third day in which we do it in upper prayer. So every generation should be informed of such things. All the traditions of the Holy Prophet of Islam, which is informed him, must be kept alive. And generation after generation, they should be retold and retold. But I found it here, unfortunately, in England, that our younger generation is not apprised of these things. And so when I started reciting it, nobody followed me. Even young boys belonging to a bit older generation, they wouldn't know what I was saying. So these things should be taught, like in school. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Wa lillahi alhamd. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Wa lillahi alhamd. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Wa lillahi alhamd. And again, it reminds me of a thing which was suggested to me this morning by someone, that I should speak on the subject of the views of the obligation towards mosques, of those who come there to worship. It was pointed out to me by a very highly respected friend of mine that gradually people have started showing signs of disrespect, inadvertently though they do it be. But surely the signs of disrespect are obvious. In the mosque, they begin talking loudly of the worldly affairs. Even while some people are saying prayers, they are not mindful of the fact that the house of Allah is for the worship of Allah and for nothing else. In the Masajida Lillahi, Bala Tajuma Allahi Ahada, which is the verse of the Holy Quran, that these places
private affairs in the mosque. Only religious talk should be held, and that too when the prayer has been finished. Not while the prayer, the people are saying prayer, it is permitted for you to start talking even on other religious topics. So these are the inherent obligations which were not fulfilled to our model. You come here just for the memory of Allah. Remember Him in your heart or with your mind. That is permissible. But not for you to talk of various things, toilers in gossip and giving and this and that, as if this is a social place for you to meet. It is not so. In the house of Allah. And you should remember it and teach it to your younger generations as well. Allah bless you.